At Her Spirit, we're here for you. We want to help you discover your potential, achieve your goals, ignite your fitness, find your community. Head to herspirit.co.uk and sign up for our core membership. Get access to our virtual classes, monthly challenges, expert advice, and track your progress in our health hub. You'll also find your very own cheerleading squad who will support you every step of the way. Use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 and get 3 months completely free. It's time for you.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Her Spirit podcast. This week, we're hearing from the inspiring Eleanor Mills, former editor of the Sunday Times magazine, who is fantastic about women in the workplace, body image, and her passion for swimming. Please bear in mind, it was recorded before the Prime Minister's rules about social distancing and staying at home. She is a laugh a minute. I think you'll enjoy it.
In these podcasts, you'll hear from phenomenal women in the world of sport and business, everything else as well, talking about their desires, their vulnerabilities, and spirited ways. You are listening to the Her Spirit podcast with me, Louise Minchin, and my lovely friend and colleague, Annie Emerson. And we are so excited to be talking to you. Should we introduce ourselves first of all, Annie?
Let's go for it, Louise.
Go on, who are you?
Now you've really put me on the spot.
So Annie is a wonderful, brilliant, former, actually not former triathlete, you are still an athlete, but you are a world champion duathlete.
Yeah, I did. I retired as world number one quite a long time ago now, 2006.
Don't say that. Do not do yourself down. We're never going to do this in this podcast.
Okay, no, we're not. We're going to big ourselves up. That's what it's all about.
So you are a former, supposedly, not ages ago, brilliant world champion.
Yeah, I did. I took up triathlon. I mean, that's a whole another podcast with me starting out looking for a hangover cure and finding triathlon in my late teens. I think the great thing was I didn't do sport when I was younger, but I had a great opportunity to go and party, get it out of my system. So in my 20s, I really focused on my sport. And I was a runner. I ran for Great Britain. I did triathlon for Great Britain and duathlon. And since retiring, I coach, got some lovely athletes on my book, coach around about 10 age group athletes. But I guess my real job is proper job when I'm going to work is commentating for the BBC. Also, I work with Super League Triathlon as a reporter and presenter. And what else do I do?
Let me tell you, and everybody listening, thank you so much, by the way. You're very passionate, aren't you? You're passionate about sport. You're passionate about women getting into sport. You're passionate about the power
of
sport, moving and exercise.
Do you know what? I really, really am. And we'll get to that and we'll have great conversations, hopefully, with our lovely guest, our very exciting guest, who we will announce shortly in the next couple of minutes. She's sitting here waiting patiently while we rabbit on. We do that, don't we? I guess as presenters and commentators, you talk a lot. But I'm so deeply passionate. That can come across sometimes a little bit, you know, it's not patronising. It's what I've lived through. You know, I'm probably quite irritating because I know I'm really skinny. All my family is skinny. So my passion for sport isn't necessarily about weight, but for me, it's mental health. I've suffered a lot of anxiety problems since the age of about 20, and I'm heading towards that big 5-0. And I think sport for me is a massive way of controlling it.
Do you know, I've known you a few years and I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got a few stories, but you know, I can laugh about them now, but I guess at the time they weren't funny. So, and I love the way sport empowers and helps women. And I want to say, we all come in different shapes and sizes. It's not about, you know, it's not about the weight issue here. For me, sport is how it empowers you as a woman.
Okay. Luke,
can you tell me about you? Because now I've rabbited on about me.
So people might know me from sitting on a red sofa. I normally present BBC Breakfast and I apologise for all the terrible news that I've told people over the last few years. And I try and do
The last 6 months.
Yeah.
Not a pass on that one.
I try and do it as nicely as I possibly can. But Annie, you will know, and anybody will probably know if they've watched me on BBC Breakfast, I have become, and this is why I'm so happy to be here talking about this, in the last 6 years, I actually call myself now, which is so strange, an endurance athlete. And I was someone who, you know, went to the swimming pool probably once or twice a month, not even a month, actually, every now and then. I probably did exercise maybe a couple of times a week and did this BBC Breakfast cycling challenge. And honestly, it was like a switch went off in my head. I was like, oh my gosh, I remember, I love sport. I love taking part. It's not about the winning. And we'll talk about winning, I'm sure, a lot during this podcast. And I went back to sport 6 years ago and have gone from doing that cycle ride to other things.
But the thing is, Louise, just to interrupt there, you are phenomenal because you took it up very late in life, but you're hardcore, you know, and I don't use that word lightly, you know, in terms of what you've taken on and what you've achieved and what you've conquered. And there's been times when you've been pretty broken during events, yeah, and somehow, you rock on through. And I think the point of that is, you know, you started sport in your mid-40s.
46,
so it's not saying that, you know, anyone can do it, but you can do amazing things as you get older.
I have surprised myself and I've learned a huge amount. I've just come back recently from this desert trek in Namibia, 100 miles in the desert, which we did for sport relief and we did to raise money for mental health charities. And that was, you know, I've done all this training over the last 6 years. And I remember being on my bike on the first day going, ah, now I understand. This was the day I've been doing the training for. So of all those days when you go for a walk or whatever it is, you're building, aren't you? You're building kind of your portfolio, or you're building a book, or you're building a backstory. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you think, oh, I can't do things, you know, you can build up to these things and you may not even know what you're building up to. But the journey along the way has been brilliant. But suddenly on that day, I was like, now I get it. Should we introduce our guest?
Yes, definitely.
Go on, you do it.
Well, we have alongside us the very lovely and amazingly talented Eleanor Mills. Eleanor, I'm going to let you tell our listeners who you are and what you've achieved.
Should we say journalist, swimmer?
Where does it start?
Mum. Eleanor.
Oh, hi. So I'm Eleanor Mills.
It's lovely to see you.
I'm chair of Women in Journalism, one of my hats I wear. For 22 years, I've been on the Sunday Times. I've been a columnist, edited the Sunday Times magazine for 5 or 6 years, an editorial director of the paper. So I've been a journalist for most of my life, and I've just decided to change that, and I'm heading off to set up a business kind of in the space, trying to empower the not so young lady to reconnect with her joy. There'll be more kind of around that, but it feels like a very good moment to talk about the kind of empowering nature of sport and how it can help drive us all on.
Well, what we're trying, I mean, Her Spirit, and anybody who's been on the app will know, this is, you know, this is very much what they're talking about. They're talking about inspiring women to live happier, healthier life. It's about joy, isn't it? So where do you find joy?
Well, I love to swim. Ever since I was a tiny child, I've been a fish. In fact, some of my friends kind of call me a bit of a fish. When I was a child, I would never get out of a swimming pool. I literally had to be like kind of fished out by my parents. And I love being in the water. I think really I'm kind of some kind of dolphin / whale, depending on how I'm feeling about myself on any particular day. But I'm always happier in the water. And I do all kinds of swimming. I plough up and down. As a child, I swam a lot. I was very fast. I swam front crawl and butterfly when I was at school at St Paul's, and that was quite hectic. And you had to kind of go and swim loads of lengths before school and after school. But I just always like being in the water. Always has kind of cleared my head. And so now people think I'm mad. But particularly when I was editing the magazine, it was really full on. I was also editorial director, and I'd go out at lunchtime and I'd get in the pool. And the brilliant thing about being in the swimming pool is nobody can call you. You can't answer an email. You can't answer your phone. You are in the water, in your goggles. I've got like the most horrible pink goggles, which I knit from one of my daughters, and a pink swimming hat and a really horrible old costume. And I just go and plough up and down. I do like 60 lengths up and down, full on. And then I feel amazing.
And I think, you know, that's a really good point you've made there, Eleanor, about being able to switch off. Because if I'm in the gym ever, if the weather isn't great, I think, you know what, which hasn't been all of winter, and I'll go and jump on the treadmill. I like to put on some music that I can get lost in, but then I just focus on the run. And then when I see people next to me sort of walking and looking at, you know, Instagram or Facebook, I want to go, no, stop it. This is not the point of what you're doing. You need to switch off. And I think what a brilliant way to do it, swimming, because really you are totally uncontactable when your head's in the water.
I find it massively meditative. And often problems that have been running around in my head, or if you've been trying to kind of fix a long article and not quite sure how to do it, or you've got to have a difficult conversation with somebody, or thinking about kind of family, it's often during that swim that you're kind of very much in a different kind of a zone. And then often by the time you get out of the pool, you know the answer.
It took me a long time to get to that point. And I think some people listening will think, oh, you know what, it's really hard doing the run, or it's really, do you sort of mean? So I genuinely found it very, very long time before I could just get in a pool and just kind of let it go.
I find I always count. I count lengths slightly, yeah, slightly obsessively, and I kind of vaguely kind of keep an eye on the clock. But it's something about the rhythm of the arms going in and the breathing, which is, and just really all you think about is how many lengths, how many breaths. And there are vague thoughts. It's a bit like when you're meditating that things come into your head and kind of go away again. But I kind of like the fact that really what I'm concentrating on is ploughing up and down. I can feel my heart beating and my breath.
So it's like a connection with your body and your mind, is it?
I think so, definitely. And I can often get in feeling quite stressed, and by the time I get out, I feel relaxed.
I think we can all three of us can really relate to that. I think in terms of the fact that you swam when you were young, it was obviously very innate. Mm. You know, as you were saying, your parents had to drag you out of the pool. I don't have that problem with my daughter. I have to go to swim club tonight and then find some way to bribe her because she doesn't want to go. But I think in terms of women that are just starting out, I had a lovely story from Mel Berry, one of the founders of Her Spirit, who said that there's a young triathlete who's on the British team called Sophie Colwell. A few people who follow triathlon will know her. She's a great swimmer. And her mum went to see Mel for swimming lessons because she just realised Sophie's grown up, her brother's grown up, she's a woman on her own, brought up her children on her own. And she thought, now I need to do something for me, but I'm going to be the oldest, ugliest, most unfit person at the pool. And when she got there, she found out she absolutely wasn't. And I was fortunate in not such a fortunate situation. Met this lady. She was gorgeous, incredibly attractive, and it turns out she can do it, and she can swim, and she's a woman in her 50s who'd been so focused on her children.
So in her 50s she took it up.
And has done nothing for herself, but her kids have gone. And so I think you can learn, but getting the right help, you know, is key, you know, particularly with swimming.
I think it's really important for women to prioritise that thinking time that you get when you do some sport for yourself. And I've always worked and been a working mum and had two kids. And when they're little, you feel really guilty. I used to feel any moment that I wasn't in the office, because I was in the office a lot, I should be at home with them. And actually what I realised over the years is that unless you put a bit of something back into yourself, you can't be a good boss, a good mum, a good wife. That you need that kind of meditation time or that time just to feel a bit better about yourself to actually be able to function.
I remember I have read some research, and I wish I could bring it to hand right now, but some research specifically around that thing about feeling guilty.
Yes.
That exercise, moving, sport is exactly what selfish, you say. You know, is selfish. Yeah. So to all those people listening who have that kind of, you know, and I even have it sometimes as well. I just think, oh, maybe I should be doing X, Y or Z. But what would you say to them?
I think give yourself permission to do it. Mm. And I say this to so many. I mean, I've mentored and coached and had so many younger women, particularly mums, working for me. And one of the things that I really say to them is that you can't be a good mum, you can't be a good boss, you can't be a good wife if nothing in your life ever replenishes yourself. And I think that going and, for me, spending, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour in the pool is an investment in my family, in my mental well-being, and just being able to keep myself on the road. Because if you get exhausted and you're ratty and you don't really have that kind of cushion, you know, everyone knows like what that's like as a mother. You're or what I call the second shift, that you get back from work, you're exhausted, you know, the kids are going, mum, 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 the husband's going, what's for dinner, you know,
the washing machine's going, I'm full.
Yeah, exactly. My worst,
and the
thing,
dog's barking because he wants the ball to be thrown, and the cat's staring at because she wants
washing
to be fed.
The washing though is always the straw that breaks the double. The camel's back, the wet wash in the machine. Yes. It's just like, I'm like, no.
Oh my God, I so get that.
Yeah. But I think that just taking half an hour of your day to do something for yourself, everyone in the family benefits.
At Her Spirit, we know how powerful women can be. We love your strength, your determination, your compassion. We love the energy that sparks when we connect and spur each other on. Her Spirit was created to ignite that flame of determination, to unleash your energy, to build your self-belief, and to help every woman find a way to your healthiest mind, body, and soul yet. We want to inspire 1 million women just like you to be active, healthy and happy because you deserve it. Head to herspirit.co.uk, join our core membership and use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 to get 3 months completely free. Join our monthly challenges, get access to the Her Spirit Health Hub and track your activity levels, mood, food, sleep and stress every single week with your own personalised dashboard. Get expert advice and join daily live classes that can be played back at any time. Plus, find the support that you need to get started and stay motivated. Just sign up at herspirit.co.uk and use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 to get 3 months completely free. It's time for you.
I know that, for example, my, because I've talked about it on BBC Breakfast, I've been going through menopause for some time now, and particularly that has made me feel anxious and lots of different things I've talked about. But I know the children, for example, they know, they can spot it almost before I can, and they'll go, Mum, you know, when I'm a little bit naggy, they'll go, have you been for a run today?
Oh my God, isn't that brilliant?
No, I mean, mine definitely too. And I think you feel so much better in yourself, and then you're able to be a much nicer boss, mum, wife. You know, you've actually got something to give. And I think women are very bad at kind of running down their own energy supplies, always putting other people's needs first. I've got a good graphic image of this. I remember going to visit my brother in Cape Town after my second daughter was born, and we had to drive from his house into the city to pick up our hire car. And he came out, and I was sitting in the front seat with my knees kind of up against my chin, kind of squashed into the seat with the window up, and he was like, for God's sake, roll the window down, move your seat back. And my own comfort had become so completely irrelevant
that you hadn't occurred to you.
It hadn't occurred to me to like open the window, like put the radio on, because I just was servicing kind of a newborn and a 2.5-year-old and a job, and how I felt about anything was just like a completely forgotten. And he just looked at me like I was completely mad. But I've never forgotten that, because that was for me a real example of what happens when you're a mum and a working mum and you've got so much on, and it's not good for your needs to become so much at the bottom.
What about so it's like what you're talking about, and I really love the message, and I hope people who listen can really take that on board. It's sort of like a gift to yourself, but it's not actually to yourself either, because it's to all those other people in your life
that you're trying to nurture. You know, you can't nurture people on an empty battery.
I think that's
I think that's a message we really need to get out to women, because rather than feeling guilty about taking a bit of time for your own fitness, your mental health, see it as an investment in your family, because you're going to be nicer.
I think
I totally get that.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things here to look at, and one, I think we can't underestimate the workload that some women have in terms of, you know, running a family. You know, I know a wonderful, lovely local mum who lost her husband and was left with three boys. You know, there could be an argument, you know, how on earth do you
get that 20 minutes?
I mean, you've just said it, you will be a better person for doing it, so whatever you do. But what kind of advice, what can you say to someone to say, okay, someone's going, I don't have 20 minutes? I mean, I think we all know that
I think you can find 20 minutes if she's going out to work. Maybe rather than sitting on the train, you can get off a couple of stops early and you can walk for 20 minutes and look at the sunshine, look at the trees, kind of feel where you are. Because I think I'm also a great believer in really being in the moment. And I think that what's good about taking exercise is that that you can't really think about anything else. So it kind of gives you a little bit of clarity and a bit of headspace. So I would say, even if it's hard to get to a pool, or everyone can go for a walk. You know, no one's so busy that even if it's like on the way back from the supermarket or something, but to just try and take a bit of time where you're in your own head and doing something a bit physical and breathing in some fresh air.
Can I talk about barriers to swimming? Because I was like you, absolute fish. So there's two things I want to talk about, really. So first of all, you know, I mean, Annie, amazingly, has now taken up swimming, because I've kind of encouraged you into it, which is taken me by surprise. You're swimming a lot now.
Yeah, no, I've just adapted. I think this is, as an ex-athlete, you get an idea in your head.
Right.
And sometimes you don't know when to drop it, even when it's not good for you any longer. Right. And I was kind of chasing another marathon goal. I hit my goal last year, didn't I? I got my PB.
It's like, stop now.
But I didn't, no, I need another goal so I can go a bit quicker. And then all of a sudden I was kind of getting quite sick over the winter and I never get sick. And I never really listening to my husband or saying that he's got the point because, you know, because he hasn't, you know. And he said, you know, darling, do you think that maybe, you know, this running business actually now that you're doing is actually making you a bit sick?
Oh, interesting.
You know.
But you're overdoing it.
Yeah, the immune system's a bit low and you're rushing around after everyone. And I just suddenly thought, oh God, maybe he has got a point here. Mm. And that's when I thought, you know what, I just want to do something nice for my body. And I was getting too scrawny and skinny. And I love swimming because when you've swam, you do feel good.
Okay, but so you both love swimming. I love swimming. I still find it a real effort to get there because I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to wash my hair. I'm going to smell of chlorine. I kind of sneeze when I come out of the pool.
This is what I think. Okay.
I sneeze like crazy.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what that's about. Yeah, always.
Okay, so I really genuinely find it a struggle to go swimming. There'll be lots of people here who go, oh, it's just too much. So how do we make it easier? How do you make it better?
Well, I've got really curly hair, so I never have to blow dry it. So that I think that's probably one of the reasons I like it. But if you wear a swimming hat, then your hair doesn't get wet.
Mine does. Well, maybe I'm wearing it wrong.
And keep your swimming hat on in the shower afterwards.
Okay.
Because then your hair doesn't get wet. Because I can do it without my hair kind of getting wet.
I love that.
And then, you know, everyone has a shower or bath at some point in the day anyway.
Yeah.
So you can kind of think, oh, well, I'm going swimming, so I don't need to necessarily have a morning shower.
So these are all really good
little
tips.
Hacks.
Life hacks.
Yeah, exactly.
I think one thing that we must focus on is, you know, when I go to swim, you know, there's a little bit of vanity in it because swimming does make my body, my nearly 50-year-old body, better. I know it does.
Does it?
Oh, it's really good for muscle tone.
Yeah, it is. And I do get really scrawny. And some people go, oh, you're lucky because you're skinny. But actually, it's not a good look as you get older. You can get away with it in your 20s, 30s, even some of your 40s. So when I go to swim, I say to myself, the reason I'm swimming, because I don't like getting wet, bizarrely.
Okay, so it's similar to me.
I stand on the edge of the pool. And then I think to myself, what do I want my arms and my shoulders to look like now? What do I want my back to look like? This is why I'm doing it, because I will then look to see where this swimming is taking me. What's the goal end?
Oh, how interesting.
You know, and not just go, oh my God, I'm about to do another 80 lengths. It's like, no, I'm going to swim these 80 lengths. And when I get out, you know, my little arms, my little biceps are going to be one step closer to how I want them to look.
That's what I'll focus on. That was my sort of...
yeah. I've never thought about it like that. I do so it because of how it makes me feel. And I love the feeling of sliding through the water. It makes me feel kind of graceful and powerful, or like a kind of shark, or... I love it. I find just the feeling of moving through water massively empowering.
So that was sort of what you were touching on there was sort of my second point about how you look, because I, to my absolute eternal shame, gave up swimming. I was a swimmer like you, and I was a competitive swimmer.
Right.
And then age 15, you know, I was winning races and I loved the racing and I loved it. I loved, like, you know, the training, etc. And age 15, I looked in the mirror, Annie, and I saw my muscles and I saw my shoulders, and I didn't like the way it made me look. And I thought it made me look too muscly. And honestly, I feel terrible saying that, because this is a message I don't want to pass on to anybody or to my children. And I gave it up at a very important time in my life when I was doing my GCSEs. Actually, I did O-levels. You probably didn't. You're too young, you two.
Last year of O-levels.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, in a stressful time in my life when actually I had family stress, I had exam stress, and I gave up something that was, you know, mentally very good for me, physically very good for me. So how do we, you know, going back and speaking to, you know, listening, people listening who think, you know, I don't like this, I don't like my muscles, you know, that is a message that, you know, I wish I could shake up my 15-year-old self again. Come on, Louise, you love sport. It can make a massive difference to your life.
Well, I'm very busty, so I always liked the fact that I kind of felt it like balanced, having slightly kind of broader shoulders kind of balanced off my kind of natural bustiness.
Yeah.
And I'm quite kind of slim hips, so I didn't really mind that kind of silhouette. And I also just think that the pure pleasure of being in the water for me kind of outweighs those other
all
things.
Of that.
Yeah, and I still.
I genuinely feel quite not sad because I've come back to it, but I feel like I've really
almost
missed
lost
out.
Years.
Lost years.
Yeah. I mean, I've
do not lose these years, ladies.
No, definitely
I've really encouraged my daughters. I've got teenage daughters to go on swimming, and they both really love swimming and do it a lot. And I think that's probably because ever since they were born, I've kind of made them swim in cold water. Everyone thinks our family's crazy. We kind of go to the beach on a day when it's raining, it's absolutely horrible, it's windy, and we'll all get into our wetsuits and go in and go surfing.
So healthy aww. For yeah. them.
And they love it. And I love swimming, you know, in Scotland and the lochs, which is cold. I mean, I do wear a wetsuit. I don't like being really, really freezing cold. But my girls will get in anywhere and swim. And that's one of the things as a mum I feel most proud of, because I think, and I also think it teaches them not to be afraid of kind of strange places, that you can kind of encounter kind of environments which look quite hostile and find some pleasure in them.
That's so true, isn't it? And they've
just always done it since they were small. And it's really funny when you go with other families who kind of don't do that. They think we're the mad lochs, is what they call us. That's my married name. It's like, oh, the mad lochs that
swim in the lochs.
The mad sea lochs are kind of going into the sea on this freezing cold day. But my girls love it. And I'm glad I've really passed on that pleasure to them.
Where do you think you got the drive from? Because looking back over your career, where you started in university, you read English at Oxford, you went on to work for various newspapers, The Observer, you were the only female trainee in the newsroom. You know, I mean, I guess it was that driven by your parents, or is it just something that's very innate, the boldness that you have? And even in an era where, you know, women were looked at and go, whoa, you know, we don't have women in the newsroom. And you're going, no, hang on a minute, we do, and I'm here.
I think I've just always had quite a large personality, and I think as a teenage girl particularly, you're always being told that you're too much, or you should be kind of quieter. Or my father used to say, darling, how you do make remarks about things, because I kind of
remarks
and I was always used to say to him, yeah, well, dad, I made a career out of making remarks. I was a columnist, you know, that was what I did. My remarks became kind of my absolute the lifeblood of my career. Yeah, exactly. So I have a real thing about kind of young girls that we have to celebrate that confidence. And I see so many young women or young girls who are quite sparky, and the world tries to knock it out of them. I just went to San Francisco to interview Sheryl Sandberg.
I love that interview, by the way. Just brilliant. Putting it out there, go and read it. It's brilliant.
Facebook,
She's the CEO of Facebook. It was the cover of the Sunday Times magazine for International Women's Day. And I've wanted to interview her for a while, and I went and talked to her. And I had a really interesting conversation with her and her chief of staff, who's an amazing woman called Caroline, who's got 5 children. And we were talking about how that kind of excess spirit gets knocked out of little girls. They're told that they're too much, or it's a kind of embarrassing, or it's not ladylike. And if I could wave my magic wand, it would be to make women with spirit, that kind of amazing kind of, you know, authentic confidence, really value that. I wish as a society we value this.
Right back to what this podcast is called. It's called Her Spirit.
Yes.
And I was out last night, which is very unusual.
Louisa's got a hangover.
It's normally me, so I'm just so happy it's not me today.
We're really smug that it's Louisa with a hangover.
Yeah, I'm really smug.
I feel quite terrible, actually. It was to celebrate the 100 miles in the desert. Anyway, so go back to that. You know, it's called Her Spirit. And I do think, you know, there is something that we need to harness and celebrate. And whether it's around, you know, today we're, you know, particularly in Her Spirit, talking about, you know, mind, body, fuel, exercise. But there is something special, you're right, that we need to all celebrate in each other and kind of, you're right, empower as well.
Yeah, and I really hate it. I mean, there's a real Sheryl Sandberg thing was around ban bossy. We shouldn't describe young women or people who got, you know, leaderly confident young women as bossy. And she wanted to ban it. I wrote a column at the time saying I thought that was wrong. I think we have to embrace bossy. We have to kind of embrace those qualities in women which make them kind of leaderly and bossy and kind of, you know, quite big for their boots. And as someone who spent my whole life kind of feeling like I needed to fit myself into a kind of smaller box, physically, kind of personality wise, I'm kind of really determined for the next generation that they shouldn't feel like that? Because actually, if we're going to get women who are massive entrepreneurs and tech founders and prime ministers, they need to be kind of big personalities and to be able to express that. And there's not enough in our culture that gives women permission to do that. It's one of the things that I really want to do now that I've left the Sunday Times and I'm moving on.
I'm so excited for you, by the way.
No, I have to read this because I love this. It was an article interview that you did in Campaign.
Right.
And I think this kind of really sums you up and who you are and the advice and what you want to put across out there to all women, I guess, not just young women. But you say, ultimately, I advise any young woman to be brave, go for it, and above all, speak up. Your opinion is just as valid and pertinent as everyone else's. We need more women to have a guiding hand on the first draft of history. But to do that, women have to step up and realise that everyone is scared and go for it anyway. And I love that because everyone is scared. You know, even the men out there are scared too, you know.
So. But they kind of are allowed to go for it in a way that they're not. I mean, there's a thing, isn't there? I mean, what is the kind of acceptable face of female leadership? I don't think it's an accident that so many kind of female leaders who the world likes tend to be very beautiful or kind of, you know, ex-actresses or even the ones who are businessmen, someone like Helena Morrissey, who's had 9 children but looks like a supermodel. I mean, there's the kind of the pulchritudinous bar is pretty damn high. And I think that's about them being acceptable to men, that because they're particularly kind of fragrant and beauteous, that the men can kind of handle them. And I really think that women are not really going to get to proper equality until some of those kind of notions about how you have to, Sheryl Sandberg talks about it as likability, until women are a bit less worried about that pretty or kind of being kind of approved of by the chaps. It's that kind of would you kind of terrible phrase.
I get this of would you, that's awful.
Awful. Mm. Yeah, but I mean, I've heard that so many times in newspapers. It's kind of, they'd all look around each other and go, would you? You know, kind of as if that was that kind of hotness kind of quality was what allowed the kind of woman to be part of the club, even if she was doing something which is completely unrelated to what she looked like. And that's what we need to smash, I think.
What I also get a lot, which I find, and, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about this another day, Annie, as well, is because I do endurance sport and because, you know, everybody goes, oh, Louise, you're so competitive. And that sounds to me like a pejorative word. Yeah. And also it's not true of my actual kind of
myself.
You're
competitive myself. With yourself.
Yes.
You want to yourself, but you don't want to stand on the start line and go, I'm going to beat you and I'm going to beat her.
Yeah,
and
but I don't, do I, Annie?
No, not at all.
But also, what's wrong with women being competitive?
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I'm really competitive. You know, that's this thing around kind of bossy, competitive.
Actually, it's true.
That the world sees that as an unlikable quality in women. Sod it. If we're actually really going to get to kind of parity or to run things or to do things,
you need
to be really competitive and gritty and sharp-elbowed. And
maybe gritty's better. Maybe yeah. I just genuinely, when people say to me, I find it kind of insulting because I think what they're saying is what Annie says.
Well, that's because the world sees it as a pejorative thing for women. Yeah. But it's not. A man who's seen as competitive is seen as kind of leaderly and on his game. And,
yeah, you know, isn't it great?
That's what we need to own, I think, as women, and not let us say we're not allowed to be competitive, we're not allowed to be leaderly, we're not allowed to raise our voices.
Yeah.
I've had to think about this a lot in the journalistic space because, of course, for millennia of evolution, women have been told kind of to be seen and not heard. If you were likeable, you were much less likely to be, you know, kind of raped or beaten up by a man, or women have been the kind of weaker sex and therefore had to kind of play up to those tropes. And I don't think we need to do that anymore, but I think culturally it goes incredibly deep that in women that they have to do those things. And that's what we need to train our daughters now out of if there's going to be meaningful change in the next generation.
So true. I mean, what a brilliant point. It really is. It's that conforming thing. I mean, I had a conversation with my daughter yesterday, who's 11, and she's very capable. She's not a show-off. She's bloody lucky, actually. She's bright and good at sport and all those kind of things. She's not built like me. She's stronger and a little bit stockier. And she came home and said, oh, Mummy, you know, I'm kind of like the big one out of my friends, which I can absolutely say she's not. And it's the first time I've ever heard her speak like that. And I went, no, hang on a minute. What you are is really capable and you're really sporty and you have
strong.
Big lungs, and that's why she's
and
kind of got my big
wrong. Yeah. You know, let's admire her for being
and
strong.
I mean, I think in the end she's kind of switched off. She went, all right, I've got the point, Mummy. And so hopefully she has, and I will keep reiterating that, because actually, why conform and just feel like you have to be like all your friends that are perhaps don't do as much sport as you because, you know, they don't want to, or whatever. It's like, be who you are. Absolutely.
But also, what's the terror about around bigness? I mean, I have a kind of, that's another one of my kind of preoccupations. I met Michelle Obama. She's enormous. You know, yeah, she's like 6 foot. She's a large lady, you know, not at all in a pejorative way. She's beautiful. She's fit. She's commanding.
Strong, I would say again.
Strong. Yeah. Venus Williams, Serena Williams. I mean, what's wrong with being a strong, powerful woman?
Absolutely nothing.
I think we need to own that rather than talking pejorative about it as being big. You know, I hate that. I've had that my whole life. And it's kind of, why do women have to come in small, delicate, fragrant packages?
Absolutely.
Why?
I mean, no, that all sounds very boring, actually, now we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Do you know, you've been an absolute inspiration. You really have. I've loved talking to you. I suppose your last thing from a Her Spirit point of view, for people who are out there who, you know, think that they don't want to do this, that they don't feel part of a community, they've got barriers, they don't, you know, that exercise is too big and scary and too much of a commitment. Your message, I guess?
I think just try it. If you don't like swimming, you don't like getting wet, I totally hear you. Do something else. Start off just by going for a walk. Maybe get a skipping rope.
You've just taken up a new sport, haven't you?
I have. I've just taken up something crazy called Qigong, which is a kind of Chinese kind of energy kind of practice. My children think I am totally mad.
Really like, oh
but
my
you
God.
Can feel the kind of energy in the air between your fingers. I mean, it's quite woo-woo. But I can almost
feel it from you here.
Yeah, but I've always been someone with a huge amount of energy. And a friend who I met said, you should take up Qigong. You've got all this energy. This is about kind of energy, kind of working with the energy in your body and the energy around you. And I looked and I was like, that sounds really hippie. But I have to say, I love it. It makes my whole body tingle.
So try and keep trying stuff that you don't think is going to work.
Exactly. If you go and do something and it's a bit boring or it hurts or you don't like it, try something else and you'll find something that you do like. Maybe you like doing something with a team. My daughters love playing netball and, you know, then you get all the kind of camaraderie of that. Or just go for a walk and get some fresh air. I'm a great believer in nature.
Mm. And you know what? Don't be scared. Don't be scared to try something new because you never know what the outcome will be. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a lot more positive than you think. And I just, one point about my best friend, I said to her, I'm trying to really encourage her to do sport. She hasn't done sport for years. And she actually has got a great gym at the end of her road. And I said, look, go and see if there are any classes or something like
that. Yeah.
I don't like the gym. It's full of people like you. And I said, actually, no. And this is my best friend. But luckily, you know, I can take it on the chin. Yeah. It's like, but it's not. It's full of, in fact, I'm probably a bit odd in the gym, you know, as my friends say.
She does 2 hours, you know, on the treadmill, by the way.
The skinny bitch on the treadmill kind of thing, you know.
but you're like a world champion athlete.
Exactly. You should really wear a sign, I am a world champion.
Don't feel intimidated.
Exactly.
I go out and I every night I have the bottle. I have the battle with the bottle. Oh,
she
God.
She does drink wine.
I love my wine, you know. So there's always, what people don't realise is there's always another story going on inside there. You know, but you know, a lot of people that's starting out sport or haven't tried it before just go, I can't, I'm too scared. You know what? It's exactly as you said. Don't be scared. Go and give it a go because everyone is scared at the end of the day.
Everyone's scared, but what we have to do is to kind of go, okay, well, I'm a bit scared, but what's the worst that can happen?
What's the worst that can happen?
I go to the swimming pool and it's a bit cold and I don't like it. Well, maybe I'll try something else, or maybe I will like it. Or if you don't like swimming in a swimming pool in the summer, go to a Lido. It's so beautiful.
Oh, it's so lovely.
Go to a beach and swim in the sea. Or my favourite thing is swimming in lochs in Scotland. Just knocked out by the beauty and you just feel like charged up on every level.
I think, though, the bottom line, Lou, is as we wrap up the mess, we could sit here all day. All we need now is a bottle of wine on the table.
I keep going forever.
But I think the message from all three of us is, you know, we've all had our ups and downs. We've all had days, many days, when we don't want to do sport. But what we do know is, you know, that thing about you'll never regret not doing a session kind of thing, but you... What's
the
saying?
I don't know. What I think is that I have never, you know, I've
you
never regretted
the things you don't do.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, what all three of us will say is that sport makes us feel better, not just physically. For me, key is mentally. It makes me feel stronger. And that's
exactly
the message
what you've said, isn't it?
That I think we want to put across.
I think it's good for all parts of your life. It kind of means you can get into your genes, which is, you know, reasonably
that's
important.
That's nice, isn't it? Yeah.
But much more important than that is you'll live longer.
Yeah.
Tick, you know.
Yeah.
and you feel better. You just feel more alive. You can feel the blood changing around your body. It's good. It's what makes us human.
I'm really looking forward to hearing about your next project, because finding the joy is something we all want to do. Thank you so much for being here. It's been a real pleasure. Insightful. Thank you.
It's lovely. And I think this is an amazing, amazing project. And the more women we get kind of finding their inner joy through a bit of running, the better. Or whatever.
Yeah. Whatever it is. Get out there. Thank you so much. And have a nice swim.
Thank you.
I absolutely loved meeting Eleanor. She just sat in the corner of this room, didn't she, Annie? And she just kind of had this glow of joy around her.
She did. She had an incredible glow of joy. Absolutely agree with you. But you know what came across to me is how relaxed she is and how comfortable she is in her skin. And that's just really wonderful to see. You know, not many women sit there and just say, you know what, I kind of believe in myself. I'm cool with who I am. And, you know, the world's good. And I think that's what she exudes as well, that just kind of inner confidence.
Yeah, you're right. Comfortable, confident. Mm. And you're right. Just you sort of think she's embracing life in ways that we can all hear and celebrate. She's kind of celebrating it as well, isn't she? And she's obviously, you know, changing her life and moving on to something different. And change is not necessarily a bad thing. It can be really frightening at times, but you can just see from the way she walked in, she's going to bounce on. She's going to have a great time.
Yeah, I really hope that people enjoy listening to her. You know, I think what she puts across and sitting here watching her is, you know, really incredible advice for people. Listen, you know, don't worry about what you look like. You know, just be confident. And I think, you know, be afraid, but do it anyway kind of thing, you know, is her message.
Be afraid, but do it anyway. Absolutely. Well, listen, thank you very much for listening. Thanks to our sponsors, Sport England, This Girl Can campaign, also to MediChecks as well. You can find more details about the Her Spirit community at herspirit.co.uk or the Her Spirit app. And in the future, we will take questions from you. So send them in and we will be asking them to our guests here in the future as well.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Annie Emerson, your co-host with Louise Minchin, and we really hope you enjoyed today's podcast with us. Today's podcast would not have been possible without the support of MediChecks. MediChecks offers simple-to-use blood tests, wanting to strengthen your immunity or check for underlying conditions. We offer at-home tests with doctor-reviewed results. Visit MediChecks.com to find out more.